Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
And our national leaders are asking of us. We want to honor that with integrity. And so we want to let you know that. That's just a few people in the facility, less than 10. And we're hoping, really, that you'll join us as we submit to authority, the authority that God's placed over us as well. We don't look at this, I said this, I think, last week, we don't look at this as a suppression of the gospel at all, but rather leaders that we have prayed about, and I mean literally prayed before we went into voting booths and asked God for guidance as we voted them into office. And then we entrust them to make decisions based on information that we don't have. Because I'm sure, because I've learned this with church leadership, leaders always have more information than what they can divulge or are willing to at any given time. So, because they're responsible for that. And so we're just asking you to join us through your living room or at home, whether, and spread the word, by the way. Like Pastor Mike said at the beginning of this broadcast, hey, hit that like button. I think I said it to you earlier as well. Hit the smash that like button. Let us know that you're participating with us, and then you will be following us on our St. Charles River Church website as well, on our Facebook. And you can be a regular participant in these, now this is the second week, but in these total of 8 weeks of Global Summit. I hope that you're praying. I hope that you're doing everything you can to be an encouragement on your social media as well as those few limited individuals that you'll come in contact with. I said this last week as well. At some level, we're all experiencing a different level of quarantine. And if you didn't see week one and you're wondering whether the church should actually be quarantined, it's the greatest opportunity we have ever had. Go back to and watch week one, if you would, if you're able to. Go back and watch that, because we believe this is the greatest opportunity. Instead of asking everyone to come to our facility, we're literally coming into the living rooms of people around the world through social media. And we're grateful for this opportunity. Thank you for joining us. Our hope through this season that we're labeling as the coronavirus, the COVID-19 virus season, we're just hoping that we display the greatest love that man has ever known, that the church could have ever displayed. Jesus said in the book of John, he said that all men will know that you're my disciples by the way you love one another. It's how you love people. It's how you treat people. And it's how we speak to people. There's an amazing testimony of the words that come out of our mouth really matter. And I hope that we're all taking advantage of bringing this positive message, not just for positivity, but for the sake of truth. The truth is, capital T, is that there is hope. There is great hope. God is in control. Nothing is out of control, though it certainly feels like it at times during this season in our lives. There are some nations that are going through this worse than the United States is. And yet ours is awakened us as a nation enough. We're praying for Italy. We're praying for North Korea. We're praying for China. We're praying for Russia. We're praying for those nations that are experiencing their own level, whatever that is. Some are worse than others, but we're praying for you. And if you're in those countries most affected, that's why we're calling it the Global 8 Weeks of Prayer, Global Summit, because we really are praying for you and we're praying with you. We are one as a people around the world today. More than ever in modern day lifetime, we are one people rooting for the same team. We're not wearing different jerseys today. We're not wearing different banners today, though we're all very grateful and proud of our national flags, each of us respectively of our different nations. But I can tell you that we're not divided among the world today. I believe that profoundly. Man is coming together, sharing sciences more than ever, sharing hope more than ever. I received an email just this morning from somebody in China, and I assured them that we're praying for the people of China. We're praying for you. We're praying for your country, that God would so bring healing across your nation, and that He would awaken the Church of Jesus Christ. And it touched this individual very deeply that Americans were actually praying for the Chinese. And we are. And we're praying for you, different countries in the world. I'm going to be assigning actually different segments of our church to be praying for different continents this year, or this week rather. I'm going to send out an email just to our local church families, SCRC, St. Charles River Church. Be watching for that email. And I'm going to ask certain people to be praying for specific continents. So you are not forgotten. You are not alone. We are together as one in the name of Jesus Christ. By the way, if you're an atheist, you're a person that says, I have no faith. Well, we respect your right to believe what you believe, but there's a certain amount of faith in believing there is no God as well. So we still would lump you in that group of you're a person of faith. And so we're asking that a revelation of peace and harmony and tranquility can come to you. But we ask it in the name of Jesus, and we just ask that you be open to whatever it is that God wants to reveal to you during this season. Lots of anxiety, lots of depression, lots of things. People need people. We're not meant to be separated for any length of time. And I believe God's word is clear about that. Because we have a message, we're going to continue to broadcast it through this medium. We're going to broadcast it in any way we can, including our podcasts on our St. Charles River Church website. Just look for us, St. Charles River Church, Google it, and you will find website. Click the website, and you can listen to as many podcasts as you would like around the world. Last week I told of a story of somebody that I was having connection with on WhatsApp video in the Republic of Panama. And I'm starting to get more connections through my friends around the world. And I want you to know you're not forgotten. We love you. We're praying for you specifically. Wouldn't it be a great thing if we could bear the mark of Jesus Christ in this crisis at a higher level? Wouldn't it be great if I love stories, and Jesus was the master storyteller. We all know that Jesus was the master of telling stories. And I just wonder, what will the story be after this corona season about the Church of Jesus Christ? What will some of the great testimonies be? And I'll call them that. What will some of the great testimonies be of what God did around the world? Can you imagine the potential? Because right now around the world, those who believe in Christ or those who have a different level of faith in a different direction, we believe that Jesus is the truth. And He said that, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes before the Father except by Me. And so I will say this. Wouldn't it be great if around the world people brought testimonies of the revelation of the one true God throughout the world during this season of coronavirus? And people will give their lives to Jesus Christ around the world as a result of positive message of hope and love and compassion out of Christians. Wouldn't it be great if when this thing is all said and done, and whether it's a year from now or 5 years from now or 100 years from now, should the Lord not return, wouldn't it be great if the story, the greatest story of the church, was actually in 2020 during this coronavirus outbreak, where the Church of Jesus Christ rose at a level and they were doing things to impact people. In fact, they bared the mark. They were actually resembling the acts of Jesus Christ of compassion and kindness and words of hope. I can tell you there's one such story in the New Testament. It's in the book of Acts. If you're not familiar with the book of Acts, it's the story of the early day church, the launching of the church and the ministry after Jesus had ascended. And there's this great story in the early day church in chapter 4 of Peter and John. And actually they were preaching the gospel in the name of Jesus, getting in a lot of trouble for it, by the way, getting in a lot of trouble for preaching the message of Jesus. The Sanhedrin Council, which was the modern day religious leaders of their community, they didn't like this message. the message of Jesus. By the way, the enemy still doesn't like this message. And I'm not talking about a man or a government. I'm talking about the enemy. We're talking about Satan, and we believe in a biblical Satan who is trying to suppress the gospel. This, if he has not learned it yet, when you try and push the church down, the church rises to the highest level of excellence and power and prayer and fasting around the world together. Things come alive because the enemy tries to suppress this message. And he was using man to do so in this particular case. And they arrested, the Sanhedrin actually arrested Peter and John and brought them before them in chapter 4. And I want to read it to you quickly. And I just want to point out two things to you quickly after the scripture. Verse 1, the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to people. And they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. We still do, by the way. They seized Peter and John. In other words, they didn't have a choice. They were seized in the moment, literally by guards. And they seized Peter and John because it was evening. They put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and a number of men grew to about 5,000 believers. One of the great outpourings of the Holy Spirit. Verse 5. The next day, the rulers and elders and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began questioning them. By what power, what name do you do this? Then Peter in verse 8 says, filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called into account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God has raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He's referring to Christ, the stone you builders rejected, which became the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, and there is no other name under heaven given by which you must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, listen to this, when they witnessed something different about them, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, in other words, these were not highly educated professors of doctrine and professors of religion in the day. They were just ordinary men. They were astonished, and they took note that these men had been seen, or had been rather, they had been keeping the company of Jesus. Two things I want to point out. There was evidence in their lives and in their words, not just the message they were preaching. There was evidence in the power in which they spoke. There was evidence in the confidence in the one they spoke of. There was evidence in the way they gave hope. And literally goes on to say, read the rest of that chapter. It's amazing. It literally, the man is standing there before them that was healed. The man that was crippled before, and they all knew who he was, is standing there, and they can't refute the healing. There's evidence in the room, and if you read on a little bit further down, they don't know what to do with this. They are actually puzzled as to what to do. What do we do with these two? I mean, if we throw them in jail, they already got a following of 5,000 people. Get this. I mean, this is the whole conversation, I'm sure, behind closed doors, because they did retreat to closed doors after that. Can you imagine the conversation? What do we do with these guys? Just tell them not to do it again. It's kind of what they come out to. Tell them not to do it again. But here's the thing. Their actions actually betrayed them as Christians, not just their words. The actions that they lived out before man actually betrayed them. You know, there's talk of different diseases and different viruses. And oftentimes when you call the doctor will ask you, especially these days, they'll try and talk with you by phone instead of bringing you into an emergency room or bringing you into a doctor's office. They'll call you and they'll actually put a nurse on the line and they'll start recording the symptoms that you have of what it is that you're experiencing. And they will begin to rule things out that it's not, because these are the symptoms. They'll ask you these questions. Do you experience this? Do you experience that? Have you had this shortness of breath? Have you noticed these things? And no, I haven't noticed those things, but here are the things I notice. And what they will do is, by a process of elimination, they will actually work their way to a diagnosis. And I would ask you, if someone were, when this whole thing is over, the coronavirus alert and all of the things begin to come down and the season begins to wrap up, because it will, because God is going to get us through this together and we will do it together. But when it's all said and done, what's the diagnosis of how you were during this season? What are people going to remember about you and about your family? What are they going to remember about your social postings on your Facebook? Did we spread fear? Did we buy into rumors? Did we spread things that we had no clue if it's true or not? Our hearts are good. I'm not talking about, is the heart meaning to do that? I mean, are we purposefully putting things out there that encourage people? Or will people remember that we were part of the panic? Will people remember that we didn't show compassion? I want to encourage you. Two things. You're anointed for this season. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are anointed for this season. This is your finest hour. It's meant for you to rise up. And you may say, well, I'm a timid person. Get a little untimid, because people are afraid. Be a little more bold. What was it the Sanhedrin mentioned? They noticed the courage that these two disciples were speaking, and they began to muster something up inside of them of courage. This is worth living and dying for, this message, the message of the gospel. They noticed something about them and their courage as well. The second thing is, you are literally double portion prepared spiritually for this moment. You are supernaturally qualified for this moment. You may say, well, we'll tell people to come to Pastor Barry and St. Charles River Church and Pastor Mike Bowie and all the pastors at St. Charles River Church. We'll kind of connect them to, and I hope you do, to this link every week. I hope you do. But also encourage them. Be that, you're the hot contact with those individuals. Be that individual who bears the mark or the symptoms of a follower of Jesus Christ in this season. Bear those symptoms well. Bear them with courage. And don't forget, it doesn't take much to simply bow your heads and just simply say, Lord, bless my friend in Jesus' name, with peace. Peace, Lord God, peace that passes understanding. It's not difficult. Bear the courage of the power of Jesus Christ. There's a few things that you can do before I wrap this up. There's a few things that you specifically can do to be very relevant in this season. First of all, be aware of the people in your lives that are home alone. And you know they are. Can I tell you, honestly, because I've talked to several, they are feeling more alone and disconnected than ever, especially in the church world. They count on one day a week, or 2 days if your church meets two or three times a week. They count on those gatherings to have their social connect, because again, the Bible teaches man was not meant to be alone. We literally, it's just not a healthy thing distancing ourselves for any length of time. And we believe, by the way, we'll review this decision every 2 weeks. We'll look at this every 2 weeks. And we'll determine, according to what our leaders are telling us, it's safe. We'll determine to regather back here in the auditorium, and we hope sooner than later. We're praying that way, certainly. But there are things that we can do to be relevant. Be aware of those. Call those that are alone in your community. Get a contact list of 5 to 10 people, and whether it's email or a phone call, let them hear voices when possible. FaceTime when possible. Let them see. Laugh together. Bring a sense of humor to whatever we can. It's not funny. The situation of the corona certainly is serious. But we can bring laughter into people's lives and have fun with them. By the way, those same individuals may need you to make a run to the grocery store for them. Think about being relevant to their needs. It's just one of those things. We can really begin to extend ourselves as an act of servanthood to people around us, especially our hot contacts, those that we know well. Think about those types of opportunities as well. Also, I was on the Red Cross, or on the phone rather, with the Red Cross this morning. think about what you might do to volunteer your services if it's permitted in your community. Think about what you can do to donate your time to local services, whether it's hospitals, if permitted, or Red Cross creating blood drives for the Red Cross. I'll get it out eventually. But it is something that we can do to cross the lines into things we've never done before. The Red Cross needs our help. We need blood. There's absolutely an opportunity to do so. I literally waited 110 phone calls in line this morning to get through to the Red Cross because people are calling and rising to the occasion, and I hope that's believers as well. If your organization would like to form a blood drive, think about those things. Contact the Red Cross, the local Red Cross, or ministry opportunities, food banks. Those are great opportunities to serve. Also, don't forget about donating food to local food banks. Don't forget about buying extra groceries for those that may want to or need to tap you and say, could you share? In the book of Acts, and I'm going to wrap up here, the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, it literally said the early church had everything in common. In other words, they shared everything in common. If I own it, it's yours. If you own it, I need it. We share. And if we have extra of things, contact those hot contacts that you have and ask if they need help. Ask and start sharing things on social media. Not only words of encouragement, but it might be a great time to actually reach out and share in some areas that may cause a little bit of discomfort at times. But I'll just promise you, because God promises this, given it shall be given unto you, in good measure, pressed down, shaken together. If you give blood, he'll give you a whole lot more blood to give again. That's the promise. It's coming back. It's coming back to you. If you give food, you watch what God does. He'll multiply the food that he provides to you. If you provide financial resource, he'll provide the finances, because we believe here at St. Charles River Church that God gives givers to give. So join us if you would. Let's be the greatest servants in the history of the church. Let that be the story that the church came alive in 2020, around the world. Now, St. Charles River Church, I hope to see you as soon as possible. Stay in touch. If you'd like to, again, like us right now before we leave this broadcast, like us, join us for the next several weeks of Global Summit. Heavenly Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus that you would so shine through the church, the modern day church around the world, around the globe in this summit of 8 weeks. We ask that you would awaken us to an awareness like we've never had before, not about the plight, not about our circumstances, but awaken us to the power of the Spirit of the living God, alive in us and well, transforming lives literally by the hundreds of thousands, one friend at a time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.